All right, our reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse number 19. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Amen.
Amen.
Now I want you to put your device down. You ain't turning to nobody. You ain't looking at nobody. Put your device. Put your Bible down. All I want you to do is put your hands like this. I can't, put your hands like this. I want you to look up and repeat after me. Lord.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For.
For.
Your presence.
Your presence.
Lord.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For.
For.
Your presence.
Your presence.
You may be seated. Remember I told you earlier, y'all, that Reverend Rose don't realize how he was stepping all up in it? It ain't nobody but God. It ain't nobody but God who finds a way to make a way out of no way.
Yes.
It's nobody but God who has the ability of bringing stuff together when we don't have an idea of what we're doing and why we're saying it. Sometimes we wonder why we say the things we say, when we say them, and how we say them. It is God who has a purpose and a plan because of the fact that God knows what the people of God are in need of. And you know what? I ain't smart enough for that. But God is. So we have entitled our message this morning, Lord, thank you for your presence. There was a time in our lives we ain't care if God was present. There was a time in our lives we just did what we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it, and when we wanted to do it. There was a time in our lives that we were just struggling. You know, the thing that many folks struggle with is being alone. Since folk don't want to be alone, some folk have made some compromises. And through making those compromises in their lives, things just didn't work out. And they ended up being more alone than when they were alone. The truth be told, when we look at Matthew chapter 18, what is happening here is that Jesus is letting them know. He's letting them know the significance of two coming together to agree. He's letting them know that if we can't be on one accord, they don't expect nothing to work out. And when we see what he is saying again, he says in verse 19, again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Yes. Now, we have to understand when we talk about this, we have to realize that there have been times, and let's be real, there have been times we've been in agreement with someone. And things just didn't seem to work out the way we wanted to. And what we have to realize is that it's not always what we are asking for. It's what God knows what is best.
Yes.
But we have to make the conscious decision to be on one accord. Yes. Because as we are all on one accord, you see the worship service we're having today?
Right.
It don't happen like this unless we are on
one accord.
Somebody working with me. I want you to know that if the choir comes to sing, and if they are not on,
one,
don't you know that song wouldn't sound right no matter what song they were singing? If the musicians were not on one accord, I want you to know nothing would sound right. And the same thing is true about the people of God. If we can't come together and be on, then we shouldn't expect God to do nothing for us. If we're focusing on the stuff that ain't important, if we're looking at what they're saying, how they're talking about us, how they walk, how they talk, I don't think they come as often as I do, or they don't do this or do that. That's telling me that we are not on. You see, if we're truly on one accord, we recognize the importance of the people of God congregating together, because we learn from one another, we strengthen one another, we encourage one another, we help one another. Why? Because we are on
one accord.
But if we're not on
one accord,
it's like we're playing tug of war in church. When we're not on, we are playing tug of war, because of the fact that you want what you want, I want what I want, and ain't nothing gonna work, because it's not what I want, it's not what you want, it's what is the will of God for us. So we have to understand, as we delve into this particular statement, whatever y'all agree on here on earth, we have to recognize, we first got to start with what is the will of God. If we're basing on what we think and not basing on what God thinks, then we really can't be on one accord. And we're talking about being on one accord. It's not about us just being on one accord with one another. It goes a step further, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. But the reality about what we do and who we are, it's bigger than how you like me or dislike me, or I like you or dislike you. You see, I might not like you, you might not like me, but we all have to love one another. Remember, Rose, that one didn't go over too well. How can I love you if I don't? That's a hard one to swallow. Then you wonder why you cannot be on. Because of the fact that, don't you know God loved us in spite of us? Don't you know that God loved us? And because you know why? Let me break it down to you like this. God loved us but wasn't liking nothing we were doing.
All right.
Does that make sense now?
Yes.
Because I know y'all thought I was just grabbing straws out the hat. I want you to understand, God was loving us but not liking the stuff we were doing. But it didn't stop God from loving us, because if it had stopped God from loving us, Jesus never would have came for us. Jesus came for us because the Father loved us and the Son loved us, but the Son was telling us all the stuff that his daddy just don't
like.
Oh, somebody working with me. Are you going to work with me? You sure you're going to work with me? So that, what is that telling us? We might not always like one another, but we ought to always
love.
In spite of whatever. You want me to love them the way they was talking about me? You want me to love them? And I saw them winking at my wife. Hugging my husband just a little. Oh, somebody working with me. But we thank God that kind of stuff don't happen here. But what we have to realize is that, what's stopping you from loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because it's a love thing, y'all. How can we agree if we can't love? We serve a God who ain't nothing but about what? Love. So if our God is about
love.
We ought to be about
love.
And then I might see some things about you that you're doing that I just don't
like.
But that ain't going to stop me from
love.
You see, now I thank God. And what happens in those kind of scenarios is that sometimes we see folk doing stuff that we know that we don't like, but it's not that we don't like it, but God we know is offended by it.
Right.
Because it goes against the grain of what God wants us to do. That's the time when you take the love of the Lord that's inside of you. You pull over Brother Chan and say, bro, let me help you. You know I love you, and you know the Lord loves you too. But you going around kicking cans ain't the thing God wants you to do. See, I said that way I'm safe. Are you following what I'm saying, y'all? I love you, but I don't like your actions. But that is the thing that has to get us over the hump. Because of the fact that we too often get it twisted. We focus more on the like and forget about God's. And what we have to understand, that the love is the most important thing that exists amongst the people of God. And the people of God have to be able to look at one another and realize that if we are assembled here together, there's a reason for it. Because none of us are here by happenstance. None of us are here because of luck or chuck. We're all here because it's all part of God's divine plan for us to be here for such a time as this. Because the Lord sees something amongst us, and we are all pieces of the puzzle. And when we decide to congregate and come together, don't you know that God, that's when he begins to reveal what he is doing, how he is doing it, and how he's going to bless us, how he's going to strengthen us, how he's going to move us forward. We have to make it our business to get past that like and start focusing more on the... Because the love is what's going to carry us. The love is what's going to keep us. Because I want you to understand that no matter how good of a person you think you are, everybody don't like you. Are you following what I'm saying? But Lord knows that, that if they call themselves a child of God, they ought to be loving you. So if we're going to move forward as a body of believers, there's got to be a whole lot of love in the house. Amen. In spite of what I don't like about you, and in spite of what you don't like about me.
Amen.
Because it's all about the love.
Amen.
But Pastor, mm-hmm. You talking about, Lord, thank you for your presence. Mm-hmm. I ain't hear you talk about nothing about no presence. Well, I'm glad you asked. Because what he says in verse 19 is getting us to understand we have to make it our business to be in agreement. And if we are in agreement and we go according to God's will and his way, the Lord's going to make a way. It might not come out the way we want it to, but if we trust God, God's going to make a way. Carolyn, I know sometimes it gets rough. Sometimes we don't understand. But if we're trusting in God and we come and we agree and say, Lord, let thy will be done. Because, Lord, I'm one of your children and I know I have value because you told me I have it. And the person I'm praying with has that same value. We're coming in agreement, putting it into your hands, Lord, because we know you are the great physician. You are the healer. You are a deliverer. You are a way maker. You are our all in all. There's nothing that goes on, Lord, that you can't fix. So we're coming to you in agreement. God to make a way. But are we willing to accept his will and his way? So that's what verse 19 is dealing with. But it says something in verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together. I'm looking at New Revised and I'm still quoting King James. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Reverend Rose already said it about God's presence. God's presence is in this place. Because we brought him with us. We talk about here, and this is what Jesus is saying, is that wherever two or three gather together, in his name, he is there in the midst of them, or he is there among them. God's presence. You see, there's something about the presence of God within a worship experience. It is such that when God's presence is in this place, things happen in worship that you didn't expect. God will begin to talk to you even while you are worshiping him and letting you know everything is going to be all right. When you get home, that thing you was waiting on, I want you to know God done already fixed it. He done already told you. He's already made it plain for you. Why? Because you are in God's. And you made a decision to praise him. Not to escape your problems, but praise him in the midst of your stuff. And as you're doing that, God will make it his business to honor our presence. And when we come together, that's how come the worship service is such, because we have all made a conscious decision to lay aside every weight and to give God our undivided attention. And Lord, we are intentional in our worship. We're not here to impress. We ain't here to entertain. We ain't here, you know, for any other reason than, Lord, to let you know that I wouldn't be where I am if you hadn't blessed me. Because, Lord, there was a time in my life you were not that important. Let's be real. There was a time in your in my life that I didn't give you any attention. But in spite of all that, you were still loving me even while you were not liking what I was doing. It was your grace and your mercy that was keeping me when I didn't think I could be kept. I was out there messing up so bad, so toe up from the flow up. Lord, it was nobody but you that kept breath in my body, kept my heart beating, kept me in my right mind long enough for me to make a decision that would change my life and turn my world right side up. Do I got anybody that knows what I'm talking about? But hold on. There's something about us coming together in his name. But we can't come together in his name until we learn how to deal with him on a one-on-one. You know, I remember when my kids were small, when they were all young, and Deacon Elwood, when they were like 1.5, 2, put them in their bed and turn the light off and he's out the door. Deacon Clark, 5 minutes later, Daddy, Daddy. So the brother go in the room. All right, now lay down, go to sleep. Turn the light off. Same thing. But the only way I could get him to go to sleep is I would turn the light off, but I would lay next to the bed, put my hand up on the bed. They'd hold my hand. And within about 5 to 10 minutes, probably both of us. But my sleeping conditions were a little bit more uncomfortable than theirs. So eventually I'd wake up. But you know what was interesting? When I would leave the room, it made them uncomfortable. And they needed my presence. Because they did not want to fall asleep alone. How many of us are screaming out, I need help, because I'm tired of being alone? But if you have Jesus, if you are a child of God, his presence is always with you. But there was a time it wasn't. And what happens to us sometimes, Rem Rhodes, we revert back to what was and forget about what is. What is that I am saved. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been healed, delivered, and set free. I'm no longer allowing the chains of the world to hold me down. But every now and then, when something happens, I get a little shook because of the fact that I think back to what I was. And Brother Phil, I forget about who I am. We have to know that the presence of God never leaves us. And when we read this scripture, he tells us about the 2 and 3. But we can't get to 2 and 3 until we won. We're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the one thing that you and I have to remember is that the presence of God is with us. Sister Davis, you remember that time when you were dealing with some whatever's in your life And as long as you was thinking about them, whatever, your mind was racing, you couldn't get your focus right. But something said inside of you, child, you better cut that out and start praying. And once you took that moment and started to pray, that feeling of being overwhelmed by your stuff, all of a sudden you felt a peace come all over you. And you knew it was nobody but the Lord. Why? Because of his presence. You remember how, Dr. Red, you was driving your car, and all of a sudden, before you know it, somebody cut you off, and without even realizing, the Lord had you turn the wheel just to get around. Why? Because of God's presence. We have to understand that God's presence ain't ever going to leave us. It's his presence that gets us from one day to the next. It's his presence that's watching over us and keeping us safe from danger seen and unseen. It's his presence that when you're going through treatments, that God just tells you everything is going to be all right. It is because of his presence that you haven't lost your mind. It's because of his presence you are able to wake up and say, Lord, I thank you. Because where would I be if I didn't have your? You see, and you know why God has given you presence? Because of his presence? It's because you have value. If you didn't have value, then God's presence wouldn't need to be with you. And you know why you have value? Because God loves you. And since God loves you, you know how God loves you just? You see, I want us to understand, y'all. Don't try to be something that you ain't. Because God has a problem blessing you when you ain't who you're supposed to be. You see, when you are being who you are called to be, that's when God's going to bless you in spite of whatever folks say about you. I know you don't dot all the I's and cross all the T's. I know that you stumble every now and then. I know that you have your imperfections sometimes well up, but that's all right, because I serve a God who loves me, giving me value, and I want you to know that his presence won't ever leave me, because I know he's present with me, because if he wasn't present with me, I wouldn't be here right now. Anybody understanding what I'm talking about? If the presence of God wasn't with you right now, I don't know how you could even exist. I don't even know how you could even think. I don't even know how you could even stand. I don't even know how you could see, hear, smell. Because of the fact that it's because of God's grace and mercy. It's his presence that has been there with you through thick and through thin. There was some stuff the enemy was trying to utilize to take us out. But it's because of God's that you are still right here. And you know what? And that's why whenever we congregate together in this place, we want other folk to know, as we know, Lord, thank you for your presence. Because, Lord, if you wasn't present with me, I might have cussed that person out. If you wasn't present with me, I might have smacked out of that person. If you wasn't present with me, Lord, I might have did something that was truly ungodly. But it's all because of your presence. Yeah, has anybody ever been through something and you was about to act out, but there was something holding you back? You wanted to do something, but it wouldn't let you go. It's called the presence of God holding you, keeping you, guarding you. Even when you thought you couldn't, God said, yes, you. Yeah. It's God's presence that keeps us, heals us, and delivers us. But then we have some folk who can just come to church and just sit here. How much longer for this? So the service is over. You don't understand. Thank God it don't happen here at Broad Rock. Hallelujah. Because folk here at Broad Rock understand. if the Lord even blinked for about a second, I don't want to know what would happen to me. It's because he keep his eye on me, because I'm one of God's favorites. And since I'm one of God's favorites, I know he don't ever turn his back on me. He don't ever look away from me. He's watching over me 24/7. And since he's watching over me 24/7, I know his presence is right there. Even when I'm sleeping hard at night, his presence is right there. Don't you know, even when we go throughout the day, his presence is right there. There's some stuff that's trying to lurk and wait for you, and it's hanging out in the bush close to you. It's trying to jump out at you. But the Father and the Son and the Spirit keep all that stuff at bay. And since you know that you're only here because of God's presence in your life, how can you ever come to church and act like it's not a big deal? I want you to understand, we are here because God has blessed us to be here. And since we are here, I ain't gonna waste no time. I'm gonna give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because I don't know where I would be if it hadn't been for God's presence. And since God's presence is in my life, I gotta praise him. I gotta thank him. He's the one that's keeping me. He's the one that's watching over me. He's the one making a way for me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand just how good our God is, what he's doing for you, how he's brought you through, how he's with you right now? I tell you, if you only knew what the Lord had in store for you, you would be what? Dancing. You would be what? Clapping your hands. You would be what? Leaping for joy. You know what? When you think about how good our God is and his presence in your life, he's making a way out of no way. Because of the presence of him in our lives, he stops us from acting a fool. Because there's a few times we want to act a fool. Somebody ought to say amen. Because if you ain't, I'm going to say amen. Amen. But it's because of his presence. His presence doesn't just doesn't protect us. His presence guides us and moves us in the direction of the things that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. You see, my brothers and my sisters, Lord, thank you for your presence. Because I realize that without you, Lord, I know what it was like. You know, when we was out there acting the fool, it was God's grace and mercy that was just watching over us. But now that we're here on the inside and we have him in our lives, his presence won't ever leave us, because he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." You ain't ever got to wonder where the Lord is. Just like when my kids, when they were young, would go to sleep, and when they finally went to sleep, I would ease away from the room. But you know what the good thing about our God? He ain't ever easing away. We serve a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is the shade on our right hand. He is our light at night. He is with us at all times. Don't you know, when you think about how good God has been to you and what he's brought you through and allowed you to still be here, and you're going to act like you ain't got no reason to praise him? You see, I want you to realize, when you know where the Lord has brought you from, when you look at where you are right now, you don't look nothing like what you've been through. And since you know it ain't nobody but God who made a way out of no way, wherever I go, I'm going to let folk know that I have value, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all love me as one. And since they love me, they don't like what I always do, that's when I confess. When I confess, he is faithful and just and will forgive me of all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I want to be right, stay right, and go right. But if I ever go wrong, I know how to go on and make a U-turn and confess my wrong direction. So what am I saying? Have you truly embrace the presence of God in your life? Because if you have, you realize he's with you. And you know, when he's with you, always, you don't ever have to go wondering, "Lord, are you there?"
He's right there.
He's here. You know, check this out. I got to tell you this quick story. There was this older gentleman. He was about 96, 97 years old. And he had taken ill. But He never really had a relationship with Jesus. And his family wanted the pastor to go see him. The pastor came to go see him. And the pastor took the chair. And he sat it right next to the bed. But he stood up. And the older gentleman looked at him and said, "Man, you ain't gonna sit down?" "Nah." He said, "Why?" He said, "You really want to know why?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, let me explain to you. God loves you. I know you've struggled with your relationship with him, but I want you to know, I don't want you to leave this earth without knowing Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and as your Savior. And I want you to know what you see when you look over here is an empty chair. What I see is God's presence in this place. That even when I walk away and leave, the Lord's going to still be present with you because he's going to be in that chair." And he said, "You know what? I hear what you're saying, Reverend, and that's good." He said, "Well, I got to go see a few more folk." And he said, "I'm going to come back and check on you tomorrow. Would that be all right?" He said, "But I'm leaving. But remember, the Lord's in the chair with you." That next day, he came back to see that man that evening. And the family told him, he said, "Well, he went on home to glory." But we don't understand something. When we went to go check on him, he wasn't laying in the bed. He had put his head in the chair. He said, "Because," and they said, "We don't understand." He said, "Well, let me explain to you. I told him that the Lord was present and that the Lord was sitting in the chair and wasn't going to leave him. So all he did was to put his head into the lap." Do y'all hear what is happening here? So I know when that man went home, he didn't leave here not knowing. Because he put his head in his lap.